You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this teaching from Pastor Mark. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
Glory to God. You know, the resurrection is the whole cornerstone, if you will. It's the whole reason that we gather together at any time. Without the resurrection, 1 Corinthians tells us in chapter 15, verses 12 through 26, we're not going to look at it all, but it just says this. It says, basically, if there is no resurrection, then our preaching is in vain. And if there is no resurrection, there's no reason to gather. If there's no resurrection, then it doesn't matter. You know, nothing else really matters. But are you grateful that there is a resurrection? Amen. Are you grateful that Jesus has been raised from the dead? Amen. Hallelujah. He is alive. Yeah. I said Jesus is alive. Amen. He has been raised from the dead, and therefore our preaching is not in vain. Therefore our faith is not in vain, because we don't have a dead old dry religion. We serve a living Savior. We serve a living God who was raised from the dead. Yes, Jesus did go to the cross. Are you grateful for that? Amen. He became sin. He who knew no sin became sin, so that you could become righteous. There was a great exchange. Just like, you know, that song was saying, at first he wore, how many of they plaited crowns of, a crown of thorns on his head, but now he wears a crown of glory. When he was on the earth, he washed our feet, but now we worship at his feet. He went into hell for you, and now he's been raised to the highest seat, and he raised you there with him. There is something about a resurrection. There's something about the power to make alive. You know, over the last few weeks, I've been talking about the difference of the law of sin and death and the law of light and liberty in Christ Jesus. The thing about resurrection power is, it is the life-giving power. The resurrection power is the life of God. I want to talk to you about that today, because Jesus said this even about himself in John's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 25. Remember when he told Martha this at the time of Lazarus' death? He said to Martha, you know, he was explaining to her about the resurrection. She said, yeah, Lord, I know that in the end, we're all going to be resurrected. I get it. But Jesus said, no, listen to me. I am the resurrection and the life. If anyone believes on me, though he was dead, yet shall he live. And what I want to talk to you about, I've talked to you about this the last 3 weeks, is I want you to quit thinking about death as not being able to breathe. In other words, I want you to quit thinking about death as just your spirit departing. And therefore, I want you to quit thinking about life as just you existing. Because the Bible talks about all different kinds of life and death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. There's a lot of people who are going around today, and a lot of people will religiously celebrate Easter, and I'm glad that Jesus is being recognized, but he doesn't want them to be in death anymore. They're walking dead people. In other words, until you get your sin forgiven of rejecting Jesus, even though you're breathing, you're still dead. And those that are believers, what I want you to know is you're more than just going to heaven one day and experience eternal life. When you got born again, you came alive. And you got Zoe. And you got eternal life. And then at the same time, the resurrection life of God is working on the inside of you. Amen. You're alive. But, yeah, Pastor, I'm alive. No, you're alive. You've got the life of God. One of the things about the life of God, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. And so we talked about this. God is three things. God is love, God is light, and God is life, or Zoe. And he doesn't just exude those things. He is those things. He doesn't just do those things. He is those things. He is love. He is light, and Jesus was the light of the world, and he was life. Without him, nothing that was made was made. I mean, Jesus made it all. And so he is the life. And so make no mistake about it. When Jesus was on the earth, he was all God and he was all man. But everywhere he went, he was the love of God. He was the light of God. He was the Zoe, the life of God, or the resurrection power of God. And I'm telling you that every time he came in contact with the law of sin and death and its effects, he always undid it. That's why sickness, he had to get rid of it, because it opposed the law of light and life in Christ Jesus. Because God is love, God is light, God is life. And this resurrection, this power, because he said to her, he said, I am the resurrection. Aren't you glad he still is? And so listen, it's not limited to Easter, to where we think about Jesus being raised from the dead. This resurrection life of God is available for you every day, all day long. No, this resurrection, he's life, he's light, he's love. You go back to the very beginning. You know, when Adam was formed out of the dust of the earth and God breathed in him. You know, listen to me. God, well, there's no account of God breathing into or on an angel. But they're alive. They exist. He could have made man to exist. He could have made our heart to beat and our lungs to breathe without us really being alive. But he breathed in him the ruha, the breath of life, and he became a living soul. In other words, created in God's likeness and God's image. In other words, the resurrection, the life-giving power was on the inside of him. That's why when Adam spoke things, and that's why he could have dominion and why he could rule and reign. And then we know what happened. The devil came, and really, I say it like this, he sucker-punched mankind, and mankind lost their breath. But are you grateful that Jesus, this is kind of where we left off, that Jesus was raised from the dead and he got our life back? Remember, he said, I've got the keys. I've got the keys of hell. I've got the keys of death. In other words, I've got the keys where you don't have to be spiritually dead anymore. I've got life is available. I was dead, now I'm alive. And the Bible says he is the first begotten of the brethren. He's not the only one that could ever come alive. The rest of us could come alive. But you don't have to go by way of the cross. He already did it. But that life, what we're talking about is the resurrection power of God. And then remember in John chapter 20, I believe it's verse 22, the Bible says that he breathed on the disciples. And he said what? Receive ye the same thing that when God breathed into Adam. And what happened? Well, they were already alive. So see, Adam coming alive wasn't his heart beating, wasn't his lungs breathing. He was created in the likeness and image of God. He became a son of God, the first Adam. The last Adam came, and he did everything he was supposed to do so that now you and I could, I love what that song says, the last breath Jesus breathed, the last breath he took, now lives in you. I love that. Because that's what he did. So you didn't know that when you got born again. You may not have felt anything. You didn't feel any wind. You didn't feel anybody breathing on the inside of you. But when you got born again, the breath of God came back to you. And you're alive. No, you're alive. You're alive. You're alive. You're not just existing anymore. You're alive. You're not just going through the motions anymore. You're alive unto God. The life of God is living on the inside of you. I want to tell you something, though, that even though sometimes we feel like that, there are areas in your life that need a resurrection. And I'm just telling you that God has always resurrected things. He's ready to resurrect your dead dreams. Come on, he can resurrect a marriage. He can resurrect a problem maybe you're having with your children or relationships. He can resurrect your crazy brain. Hallelujah. He can resurrect your body if it's sick. He can resurrect your finances. He can resurrect anything. He's God, and he is love, and he is light, and he is life, and his resurrection power has always been at work. And God's ready to resurrect some things in you. There is nothing too hard for God. He's always been doing it. You remember Elijah. One of the first times that he raised somebody from the dead was, remember that little boy, that woman that gave him a room to sleep in? And then remember she said, don't you lie to me. Don't you lie to me. And then the little boy came, and then everything was good. And then suddenly one day he died. Remember what happened? Remember that woman? We can learn a lot about faith and how to walk with God. Because remember, her husband was like, what's up? Because the little boy died. And she didn't say anything. She said, all is well. Everybody say, all is well.
All is well.
Why was everything well? Well, she was on the way to a resurrection.
That's right.
And then what happened? Remember then she went to find Elijah and she came across Gehazi, his servant. You know, and the servant always protecting the master, you know, don't want to be bothered with the people or whatever. I don't know. Anyway, and so Gehazi's like, what's up? What's up? And she's like, she looked at him and it's like, because he can't help her. But she just kept her confession of faith and she said, all is well. And then she pushed on past him, pushed on past the bodyguard and went up to Elijah. And he's like, what's up? And then she just grabbed him and said, basically, I told you not to lie to me. And she's like, man of God, you're coming with me. Now, remember, this is Old Testament. And so he sent Gehazi ahead and he got there. And then one of the interesting things about this miracle that I just enjoy is basically Elijah's breath. He breathed into the dead young boy. And what happened? There was a resurrection and he came back to life. Everybody say resurrection. God always does resurrections. I'm just telling you, resurrection is available for you.
Amen.
Not just for you being born again, but a resurrection, anything you're dealing with. And then there was Elisha. That was Elijah's protege. Remember, he got a double portion. A double portion means that everything that Elijah had, Elisha had in double. And so one of the things that was probably supposed to happen was double miracles. But y'all remember this, right? Elisha died one miracle short. Did you know that? Elisha died one miracle short. So they get him, you know, they put him in his tomb and he's all there. And then one day there's a war at hand and this one guy dies and they don't want to carry his, isn't it sad? They don't want to carry his body all the way home. And so what do? They throw it in Elisha's grave. Right? Y'all remember that? 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 21. They threw that dead soldier's body in their grave. And you know what happened? There was enough resurrection power in a prophet's bones. Listen to me. If there's enough resurrection in a dead prophet's bones, then there's enough resurrection power in a living Savior to get you what you need. Nothing is impossible with God, and all things are possible with them that believe. So they tossed that body. I would have loved to have been there as they tossed the dead man in, and then he's running up to catch him. Say, why y'all leave me behind? Why y'all leave me behind? Woo! That must have been a fun day. I bet they ran home quick. Jesus, he'd raised the little boy in the casket. Remember the mama? He raised him up. But y'all remember Lazarus, right before Jesus' death, burial, resurrection. There's Lazarus, Martha, Mary. They're mad at Jesus because he didn't show up on time. Lord, if you'd have been here. Now, I know you. Because sometimes we're like, where are you, God? Even us good people who know the word and believe the word, sometimes we're like, where are you? Where are you? I've confessed my 32 times. Where are you? But how many know God is not late and he's right early and he will perform his word. And so this account, I don't know, you know, why Lazarus died. I believe in some ways, I think it was to get the disciples ready for Jesus' resurrection. That's a personal opinion, and I usually don't preach those. But how many of you know, when Jesus got there, that's when Martha said, you know, was talking to him, Lord, if you'd been here. He said, I am the resurrection of life. And remember, he said, Lazarus, come forth. God always, I mean, he's in resurrection mindset. Resurrection is available. And Lazarus came forth. And I mean, it was really the beginning of Jesus' end because it caused such a chaos that a dead man was now sitting at dinner chatting. I would love, what happened those 4 days? What was up? And so it caused quite the chaos. I mean, you even look in the epistles, and Abraham and Sarah are brought before us. And in Romans chapter 4, verse 19, it talks about the deadness of Abraham's body and the deadness of Sarah's womb. So it's not just a physical life, but when something is dead, it's not functioning. When something is dead. You know, you go back to Lazarus, and I think one of the things, and I think it was Martha who said it, she said, "But Lord, by now he stinketh." How many of you know dead things stink? Dead things stink. I grew up on a farm, and whenever you see the buzzard circling, you know a smell is coming. And I mean, dead things just stink. And I'm telling you, there's some dead things in your life and my life that stink. And God is ready to get rid of them if you are. And I'm not just talking about sin or gross sin or sexual sin. There's just some things that are dead, maybe even some dreams or some things you think are dead, but it's beginning to stink a little bit. And guess what? The Lord don't like it when it stinks, and he's ready to get rid of it by doing what? By resurrecting it. By bringing life to it. She said, by now he stinks. But it didn't cause Jesus any problem. Didn't cause God to say, oh, it's too late. He's dead. Because it's never too late with God. Amen. It's just not. Lazarus come forth. What was that? The resurrection power. Abraham and Sarah believed God, and it didn't bother. They got past the fact that their body, Abraham's body, was dead. Her womb had always been dead, but it did. But all it needed was the resurrection. All it needed was the life of God. I'm telling you, no matter what you've got going on in your life, Jesus didn't just give you the new birth to be raised where you can go to heaven one day. The resurrection power is available for you right now. The resurrection power of God is available for your dreams. It's available for your marriage. It's available for your children. It's available for your business. It's available for your career. It's available for anything you need it to be available for. It's available for your body. If you've got a habit, if you're living in sin, the resurrection power is available even for your physical body. The resurrection power of God is available to each and every one of us. So as I was thinking about this, the Lord really directed me to this scripture. And so I want to read to you 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 8, because it reminds me, this is a resurrection in 1 Samuel 2:8. He said, he raises up the poor out of the dust, and he lifts the beggar from the dunghill. Y'all know what a dunghill is, right? It's Easter, so I need to be very polite. It's a poop pile, y'all. To set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. Psalms 113, verses 7 and 8. He raises up the poor out of the dust. He lifts the needy up out of the dunghill that he may set him with the princes, even the princes of his people. So we got somebody in their life. They're in a dunghill. I mean, it's stinky. They're in a mess, and it looks like there's no way out. Maybe the doctor says there's no way out. Maybe the attorney says there's no way out. Maybe the spouse says there's no way out. Maybe the teenager says there's no way out. Maybe your checkbook says there's no way out. Maybe everything looks really stinky and really horrible. But guess what? Even though that's the dunghill, the good thing is God. And what God always does, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life, what he does is he raises you. He reaches down, just like the Holy Ghost did when Jesus was in hell. He reaches down and he lifts you up out of. And so even though it stinks, even though you're wondering where God is, I'm telling you where he's at. He's ready to bring you the resurrection. He's ready to bring you his life-giving power. He's ready to raise you up. He's ready to raise you up. All you got to do is believe. And what I love about this is I don't understand it, but I know what it's like. Living on a farm and living in stinky stuff is it kind of gets off on you. And you wonder how it is that the Lord is able to take you immediately from a dunghill and immediately set you with the princess. And there doesn't seem any smell of the dunghill still on you. What is that? That's the power, the operation of the power of God. Because the same thing happened to Jesus. He was in hell, and then one moment later, he's seated at the right hand of the Father in Christ Jesus, in heavenly places. And guess what? At the same time, the reason it was the greatest display of power ever is because we were all raised together with him. Come on, I don't know about you, but you see, I've experienced the dunghill before. I've experienced when life was desperate, and not just when I was backslidden. There are some times in life when it just seems really not so great. But God always, because of the resurrection power, he always delivers you. And he doesn't just deliver you. He gets you out of the dunghill and sets you on high. Sets you in that ruling and reigning place with his princes. You know, in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. Remember, it talks about that exchange. We exchange some things. And one of the things it says in there is he'll give you beauty for ashes. Remember that song? From the ashes I will rise. I'm just telling you, and what was really on my heart today, if this is for one person all day long, it's good enough for me. If you're in this room and ashes, what is ashes? Ashes means it's all been burned up. There's nothing left. It just seems impossible. But he will take those ashes and create something beautiful out of it. He will take you from the dunghill and set you with the princes. What does that? The resurrection power. He will raise you up. The Bible says there, it says, those who wait upon the Lord. I mean, there's an exchange going on. In one place it talks about there's an exchange going on. Here, beauty for, it means I've got to give him something. I've got to give him my ashes, and he turns it into beauty. Well, how does he do that? By the resurrection. By the resurrection. I want you to look at Psalms 138, verses 7 and 8. Psalms 138, verses 7 and 8. It says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. Though I walk, and have you ever felt like you're in the midst of trouble? Yeah. Like trouble is all around you. What are we talking about today? We're talking about when life seems hard. And again, if I'm here for one person today, that's good enough for me. The Lord gave me this message. This is my 25th Easter message I've preached as the pastor of this church. And I've got a whole arsenal of stuff to bring out. I mean, I can, you know, we've done it all. But this is a fresh message from the Spirit of God for you today. And again, if it's for one person, it's good enough for me. If you're here in this room and it feels like a dunghill, if it feels like ashes, if it feels like you're in the midst of trouble, I've got good news. A resurrection, just as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, a resurrection is available for you. Yeah. It's available for you. It's available for you. He said, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. That word revive means this. It means to keep or leave, make alive. It means to certainly give promised life. It means to nourish up. It means to preserve alive. It means to quicken. It means to recover. It means to restore life. It means to revive. And it means to be whole. Though I'm in the midst of trouble, you will keep me alive. You will give me the promised life that you have for me. You will nourish me up. You will preserve me alive. You will quicken me. You will recover me. You will restore life to me. You will revive me, and you will surely make me whole, even in the midst of the trouble that surrounds me. You'll stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand, who's at the right hand? Jesus will save me. How? Through his resurrection. Amen. Everybody say revive. What does that mean? Make alive. What does that mean? Resurrect. Though you're in the midst of trouble, though you're in a dunghill, though it looks like ashes, I'm telling you that God will revive you. And just because we're in the area and verse number 8 is my life verse, you're going to get it anyway. Hallelujah. Because I can't preach around it and not tell you what it says. And verse number 8, the Lord will perfect. The Lord will perfect. See, even though I'm in the midst of trouble, and I've had some recently, and even though I'm in the midst of trouble, and it looks like things are just, and stinky, and guess what? Though I'm in the midst of trouble, the Lord will revive me. The Lord will lift me up. The Lord will raise me up. Hallelujah. And He will perfect. He will bring to perfection. He will bring to a close. It means He will resolve. It means it will end up just like He wants it to. The Lord will perfect everything that concerns me. Amen. Amen. The mercy of the Lord endures forever. Amen. He will not forsake you, the work of His own hands. He created you. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. He's the beginning and the end. He is the resurrection and the life. And He can take, but you got to give it to Him. You got to give Him what you got, even if it's broken, even if it's messed up. You got to give Him the situation and let Him do it. Because if you could fix it, you'd already have it fixed by now, so you can't fix it. Hallelujah. How does He do this, though? Where does resurrection life come from? Well, it comes from the Spirit of the living God. The Spirit of life. The Spirit of life. The Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. We celebrate Christmas. The Spirit of God overshadowed Mary, and Jesus was conceived. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is the life-giving Spirit. The Spirit of God is the one who went into hell to bring Jesus back to life. Not just to make Him physically alive, but the life-giving Spirit brought the life of God back to Him. And that's why Jesus, as all God now, could breathe on the apostles and say, "Receive the Holy Ghost." One of the things that Jesus did that shows me how to get resurrection power working in my life is He did this. Lazarus, come forth. In other words, He mixed what He believed and what He said, and that loosed the resurrection power of God. Y'all remember in Ezekiel 37. You remember that? Ezekiel 37. Remember the prophet Ezekiel was there and the Lord showed him. And there was this valley of dried bones. Y'all remember the valley of dry bones? What was they? They're dead. They're really dead. They were so dead that the only thing that was left was bones. And then the Lord asked him this question. Ezekiel, can these bones live? What was his answer? Only you know. Is anybody there right now? Can I fix this, Mark? Only you know. Well, I really know. But, you know, I do know. But sometimes it's like, only you know. Only you know. I know what your word says, but sometimes He'll just help you out. Ezekiel was like, I don't know. He didn't want to say, I don't know. I don't think so. So instead he answered, only you know. And I don't know if the Lord just kind of smirked and said, okay, this is what we're going to do. I need you to prophesy. Now, a lot of times in church, people, when they say prophesy, they think that's the Holy Ghost shakes, and then you got to, you know, thus said the Lord, or, you know, my little children, or something like that. I mean, it doesn't have to be that way, though. You can prophesy to something just by speaking the word to it. And you're the prophet of your own life. You don't need I don't need to have a prophet in to prophesy to you. You can prophesy to yourself. And you ought to be prophesying to yourself. What do you say? Prophesy to the wind. Prophesy to the wind. In other words, what is that? The wind is the life of God. The wind is the Spirit of God. Prophesy to the wind of God. And when he began to prophesy to the wind of God, he saw this rattling and this shaking going on. And then suddenly it became an army. And he prophesied again and they came to life. I'm telling you, that's what I believe God is doing in these last days in the church. He's prophesying to the, asking us to prophesy to the wind. There is a move of God on and we're not going to miss it. And there's a life coming to the church again. There's a life coming to us. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to raise us up. Hallelujah. He's going to raise us up. But what you got to do to get the life there is just like Jesus. Lazarus, come forth. What you got to do is you got to speak into what's going on, and the life-giving, resurrecting power is available. I want to just talk to you a little bit before we close today. Just kind of circle back around a little bit. You know, the truth is that as born-again believers, and I assume most of you are born again in this room, but if you're not, if you've never received Jesus as Savior, made Him the Lord of your life, you can today. That's what the whole point of Resurrection Sunday is to point out to people that Jesus is alive. Or maybe you're in this room like I was at one time. I was backslidden away from God, living in sin, practicing sin away from God. And I'm so grateful that someone brought me to a church and I received a message and it changed my life. And I pray that your life will be changed. God's not mad at you. And you don't have to clean up to come to Him. You just have to come to Him and He'll resurrect you up all by Himself and get everything all right. And one of the things about that, even as a believer or an unbeliever, death is all around us. And that's why we need the resurrection power. The Bible says this in Romans 6:3. It says the wages of sin or the paycheck for sin is death. It doesn't mean to cease from exist. It means to fall away from God. And then Ephesians 2:1 talks about how at a time we were dead in our trespasses and sin, and then we got born again. The Bible says he uses the word quicken. What is that word quicken? It means make alive. It means to resurrect. At one time you were dead in your trespasses and sin, but now those of us who are born again, we've been quickened. We've been made alive. And then, you know, I don't know about some of you, but then sometimes as a born-again believer, I have trouble with my flesh. Have you ever had trouble with yours? Okay, a third of you lied, and I only have, no, a third of you told the truth, two-thirds of you, no, not me. I have never had trouble with my flesh. But we all have trouble with our flesh. That's why Paul said to crucify it. What does that mean? Well, I don't think you have to beat yourself or anything. Crucify just literally means to keep it in line, keep it under. Romans 12:1 and 2 says to offer it a living sacrifice. Again, a sacrifice, though, is killed. So it seems like a contradiction. I'm to offer my body a living sacrifice, but a sacrifice is something that you kill. Well, how do I offer my body a living sacrifice? I offer it to the Lord, but I kill it. I keep it under. Amen. And it's a little bit of work. I said it's a little bit of work. It's a little bit of work. But if you don't kill it, it could kill you. We got to crucify it. If you're dead to sin, then you're alive to Christ. And really, if you look in Romans chapter 6 and chapter 8, I mean, it's just so full of good things about how to understand that even though our spirit is alive, we got to do something with our mind. We got to do something with our body. But I'm talking to you about crucifying your body because there is this then, though, in Romans 8:11, it says, He quickens. If I walk in the Spirit, I'll not fulfill the lusts of my flesh. If I offer my body a living sacrifice, if I do what the Apostle Paul says and crucify it, then I can offer my members, my flesh, as instruments of righteousness, because I'm either offering them members of righteousness or I'm offering them to sin. One or the other. No gray, no middle ground here. It's either my body is participating in the law of sin and death or it's participating in the law of life and liberty in Christ Jesus. And it could all happen within 5 minutes of one another. How could that be? You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, Peter's flesh and blood hadn't revealed that to you, but my Father's in heaven. I got to go to the cross. Not today, you're not. Get behind me, Satan. What is it? I mean, that'll cause your head to spin around. I don't know if it was, I mean, it's recorded right there in the Bible together. I don't know how far apart it really was. But you and I have to stay at a place where the resurrection power is resurrecting us every day. Can I have the worship team? Romans 4:17, Abraham and Sarah, the Bible says they begin to call those things, just like God, they begin to call those things that be not as though they were. I want to make sure, because we're going to talk to some things today. I want to make sure, first and foremost, that everyone in this room is born again. I want to make sure if there's anyone who is backslidden. I've been praying for prodigals. What's a prodigal? I was one, so I know it very well. One of the things it talks about is when the prodigal came home, the father said this. He said, "My son was dead, and now he's alive." How many of you know the son wasn't physically dead? Are you with me? The son was not physically dead. And he wasn't like dead to the father, meaning he doesn't exist anymore, I'm done with him. It's meaning their fellowship was separated, cut off. It really is supposed to give you the picture of being spiritually dead away from God. But then the prodigal came to himself right in the middle of the stinky pig pen, right in the middle of the dunghill, right in the middle of ashes, right in the middle of his trouble, he came to himself, and what happened? He began to have a resurrection. He began to have a revival. He began to come back to life. And then he said, "I'm going to go back to my father's house." Well, the interesting thing on God's side is the Bible said the father was watching. Listen, if you've been away from God or you've never been born again, the father's been watching for you. I know what helped me when I figured out when I was 23 years old and I had spent, 7-8 years away from God, when I figured out that God still loved me, that it didn't matter what I had done, it didn't matter what I was thinking, it didn't matter what I'd become, it only mattered what he thought about me, and at that moment all he wanted was me, and he wanted me back. And I remember for me, I went through a transformation, a real resurrection of my life. I went from being sad and depressed and not wanting to live to being alive in Christ Jesus. Full of guilt, full of shame, full of pain, to being free for the first time in my life. I'm telling you what's available for you. I'm telling you, if it's just for one person in this room, that's all that's important for me today, because God wants you to experience his resurrection power. So the prodigal son went from God's side. He said, "My son was dead, and now he's alive. Let's throw a party." I'm telling you, I believe this. God's ready. God's ready to throw a party. Hallelujah. Go ahead.
We hope you were inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org, check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWallMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know him so you too can make him known.